Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, home of this gathered community known as Kensington Unitarians. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall. I work here as outreach officer. Our minister, Sarah Tinker, is away this weekend, so I'll be leading this morning's service along with several members of the congregation. Our opening words this morning are adapted from words from the UU minister, Everett Hand. Bless you. How does it happen, this transformation? Arriving from many directions, one bringing milk and biscuits, another bearing tension, the toll of a hard week at work. One anxious for the family dinner to prepare this afternoon, one thinking still of the parent's sickbed or the child's. One joyful from a week well spent, and one still processing the pain of another shared in confidence. How do we do it? How do we become a whole, a body, each listening to the other, accepting ideas not our own, building together, wiser and more compassionate than any of us can be alone, creating and calling the spirit of life, living the spirit of love, and then leaving, returning to the home or the workplace, to the family or the empty room, to the sick parent or child, or to walk quietly before sleep, thinking of this day. How do we come together? How do we make this time sacred? Well, let's start by lighting our chalice, the symbol of our worldwide Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community, all those who came before us and all who will follow after. And I'm going to invite Erica to come up and read our chalice lighting this morning.
Out of the darkness, light. Out of the light, warmth. Out of the warmth, joy. Out of the joy, togetherness. By the light of this chalice, we prepare ourselves for the times of triumph and times of trial that might come. We prepare ourselves to be present to one another with loving hearts, even in the most difficult of times. We prepare ourselves to make connections that will lift us out of isolation and prepare the path of justice, equality, and love. May this little flame hold us for the time that we are here with one another.
The theme of today's worship is sharing who we are. Over the next hour in this congregational service of hymns, readings, prayers and ritual, we're going to consider another, perhaps a slightly unusual take on this month's theme of generosity. We'll be thinking about how sharing our very selves, our struggles, our hopes and our dreams, that's a form of generosity which can build deeper connection and support very authentic ways of living. Let's settle down now and get into a prayerful frame of mind, body, and spirit. I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer with these words from Krista Taves. Universal Spirit of Life, God of all love, source of all in whom we live and move and have our being, we come together in prayer, even though some of us struggle with what that means. We come together to stand before that which is greater than us, although we may struggle to say what that is. And so on this day we pray for those things that we struggle with, for the conflicts we feel within ourselves and between us and those that we love. We pray for guidance, compassion, and for the opening of a path. We pray too for those things that give us joy and hope, for those things we trust in, believe in, would sacrifice for. These are gifts of grace, and perhaps we need not define them, in order to savour them, rejoice in them, be thankful for them. What we do know is that we gather this morning with all kinds of needs. Some are facing physical problems and are in need of healing. Others need healing of a different kind, emotional and spiritual. Some face family problems. Some are weary with the struggles of life and seek assurance that this will someday pass. Others face making difficult decisions for themselves and for their families. For each of us, we speak the deepest prayers of our hearts in different ways, knowing that what it means for them to be answered will look and feel different for each of us. May we somehow this morning be met at the point of our differences, and also in the places where we are one, of the same breath of life that courses through all living things. May we hold in our hearts gratitude for those things that bless us with their presence, forgiveness for the ways we have turned from those blessings, and the willingness to open ourselves anew in this beautiful and hurting world. In the name of truth, compassion, and justice, this we pray. Amen.
This reading is by the Unitarian Universalist minister and theologian, Tandeka, who is best known for bringing engagement groups and small group ministry to Unitarians in the UK. A significant part of her work is encouraging Unitarians to meet in these small groups where we can share ourselves, our stories, our struggles, hopes, and joys, in a safe space to intentionally cultivate right relationship together. She says, "Several years ago, I spent an evening discussing engagement groups with members of a New England church who were interested in starting small group ministry program. Part of my ministry is dedicated to helping congregations start and sustain small group ministries of 6 to 12 people who meet regularly as a spiritually empowering practice. At the end of my formal remarks in the New England church, I asked members of the audience if they might be willing to simply get together in small groups over a meal and talk about their unmet needs for real community in their church. One of the most respected elder statesmen of the church stood up and slowly walked to the front of the assembly, faced his fellow congregants, and said he was interested in joining such a group. He had wanted something like this for years, he said, because he was lonely. I do not have any friends, he finally confessed. Waves of shock rolled through the gathering. How could he be lonely? He was a revered member of the congregation, a pillar of the church. Many people were incredulous. When the group quieted down, the man spoke again, saying, "Every man in this room who is my age knows what I am talking about. Our social upbringing has taught us not to talk about our feelings. We are not supposed to be emotionally vulnerable or close to anyone except our wives." Something happened to me as he spoke. I felt the man's vulnerability. I could feel his vulnerability because his heart spoke the hidden language of my own heart, loneliness. My own social upbringing had taught me not to talk about my feelings to anyone. I had learned to be emotionally invulnerable and closed to everyone. But now, here, in the midst of this gathered community, someone so much like myself had stepped forward and said, "I'm lonely." He did not step forward as an authority figure. He stepped forward to talk about his own unmet needs for intimacy. His story was my story. My story was his story. He had heard a call and he had responded. All of us in the room were now in the presence of an open space, an opened heart, a change of heart, a call for healing that could be performed only by a religious community, because human salvation is not a solo act. Together we loved this man beyond belief, beyond our own mistaken ideas and thoughts about who he is. Together, we had created an ethos of care and compassion in which we could simply love him.
This is a longer than usual reading. It's an extended excerpt from a sermon by the Unitarian Universalist minister, Eric Walker Wickstrom. So please make yourselves comfortable and settle in for a reading of about 8 minutes or so. He says this: I found a website for the Instituto Interglobal, a site that has information about culturally appropriate greetings from around the world. Here's what it says about the United States. Americans typically greet one another with a handshake. It is common to ask, "How are you?" or "How's it going?" But most people don't take the question seriously or answer it with sincere honesty. It's basically a greeting that comes without expectation, the entry concludes. You should not answer the question, "How are you today?" with a list of problems. The proper response is, "I'm fine, how are you?" The proper response is, "I'm fine," with the clear implication that this is the proper response, regardless of whether or not it is actually true. There was a guy with whom I almost always shared the lift at work in the morning. His response to that typical greeting, he'd routinely say, "I'm above ground." My neighbour, a man in his 90s, simply says, "Vertical." These are both non-specific yet totally true answers, and neither of them reveal anything. There can be something really special about disclosing something about yourself to another and learning that someone you have already developed some sort of relationship with gets this previously hidden aspect of your life. If you use social media, such as Facebook, to sometimes share authentic and not so perfect aspects of your life, you can go way beyond the superficial highlight reel experience that social media is often associated with. You know that sense that the lives we see our friends living on their Facebook pages are so much more fun and interesting than the day-to-day, minute-by-minute lives we lead? It's been said that Facebook often gives this impression because it functions as a kind of highlight reel, like a film show reel of a person's life. You may find instead that the connecting that you do on social media can actually be quite rich and rewarding. But of course, to do that requires the risk-taking of exposing the non-highlight reel, sharing the real, R-E-A-L, rather than the real, R-E-E-L. And that's the thing, isn't it? Really exposing ourselves in that way is a risk. I know that other people have a certain perception of me, And I absolutely know there's a perception I want people to have of me. And I know that if I reveal too much of those parts of me that don't reinforce these shiny and impressive impressions, well, that can be dangerous. Here's a personal example. Over the years, I have intentionally been very open about the fact that I have a mental illness, that I live with depression. Many people in the congregations I've served have been tremendously grateful to me for doing so, especially those who have mental health issues of their own and who know the stigma and isolation that often come with the territory. I am also aware, however, that in each of the congregations I've served, there have been people who treated me differently than they would have if I hadn't been so open. People who've hesitated to reach out to me when in need of some pastoral or spiritual support because they didn't want to burden me. Or people who've tried to shield me from negative things that are going on for fear that my depression might get triggered by it. But here's the thing. My Unitarian Universalist faith tells me that I have inherent worth and dignity just as I am. Just as I am. All of me. Not just the acceptable parts. My Unitarian Universalist faith tells me that I don't need to earn it. That I don't need to conform to some image or other to deserve it. That I don't lose it if I struggle or fear or fall down or fail. In fact, our faith says just the opposite. That it's through sharing our whole selves with one another that beloved community can be formed. And only in sharing our whole selves. Anything else is pretense. And the pretense of sharing is not really sharing. The pretense of connection is not real connection. Now, am I saying that we should share everything with everybody? Absolutely not. Let me be clear. There are people in our lives with whom it could be particularly unsafe to share much of anything beyond, fine, and how are you? We need to be discerning about this. What I am saying, however, is that each of us have things we are currently keeping to ourselves which it might be good, both for ourselves and for the people around us, if we shared them. I am saying that when we only share our highlight reels, we aren't really sharing our true selves. Don't forget, even our choice to avoid revealing ourselves does in fact reveal things about us. Wouldn't it be nice to know that what we are revealing to others is the truth about who we are? Wouldn't it be nice to know that when we feel someone else's acceptance of us, we can be confident that they are accepting us as we are, and not just the pretense of who we think we should be. Around the world, for thousands of years, members of our human family have found ways to say to each other, "You are not alone." Others too have journeyed to the place where you find yourself, and we journey with you now. There are many ways for us to give one another strength, courage, and love. And through a simple ritual I've borrowed from the Unitarian Universalist minister, Erica Hewitt, we're going to engage in a communal support activity today. And this activity, like everything we do here, is entirely optional. So feel free to opt out if you don't like the sound of it. But let me tell you about it first and see what you make of it. In keeping with the theme of today's service, it's an exercise in sharing who we are. And it would be lovely if you felt like joining in at whatever level feels right for you. So you should each have been given a pen. And you should each find a little green slip of paper in your order of service. And that outlines the little ritual I'm going to invite you to participate in. And if you haven't got a pen, Julia's got a few more up the back to hand out. Erica Hewitt describes this as an exercise of care, trust, and vulnerability, to name on paper a struggle in your life and the hope that nevertheless lives on in you despite the struggle. So I'm going to invite you to write down on this slip, briefly, clearly, and legibly, a current struggle in your life. Name your struggle. And also write down a hope that you feel in relation to this struggle. Now, if you choose to join in, be aware someone else is going to read this bit of paper. Is going to read, see what you've written, and the bit that you write about your hope is going to be read out loud to us all. So bear that in mind with whatever you're writing. Take care with what you choose to share. Care for yourself and care for other people. It's probably not the time to share the most desperately painful thing in your life, so it's your judgment call. But I'd still suggest you make it something real that is a genuine concern for you. Please make sure you write it legibly for the benefit of whoever's going to read it. And we want to keep it anonymous, so it's important you don't include anything that would identify you. Just a few examples in case you're struggling. I might say, my struggle is there's a lot of tension around at home at the moment because me and my dad aren't getting on. And my hope is that we can find a way to be together, which is a bit more peaceable and less stressful for both of us. Is that all right? Is that a sensible suggestion? Peter's going to play just a couple of minutes of music for us while you think about that. When you've finished your little paper, if you want to join in, please fold it up and drop it in one of the baskets that's on the table. Thank you.
So make yourself comfortable as we go into a shared silence. And I'll be starting the meditation with a reading by Samuel tremble. And it's called Let Us Turn Inward. And after the reading, we'll take about 1 or 2, 3 minutes of silence, and then we'll end the silence with the chime from our singing bowl. Let us turn inward now. Feel the rhythm of the breath. In and out. In and out. Find the peace of just being with the flow of the breath. Letting go of yesterday and tomorrow. Feel the restorative power of the peace of this moment. A peace large enough to open to the concerns and sorrows that trouble us. A stillness quiet enough to respond to the joys and celebrations that enliven us. There is safety here in the rhythm of the breath. The ebb and flow of life is enacted with each one, taking in oxygen, our sustenance, letting go of carbon dioxide, the waste we no longer need. Taking in the fullness of experience, and letting go of the residue that wants to cling to us. Cultivate inner peace and inner safety in this sanctuary, dedicated to cultivating a community of compassion, dedicated to becoming a beacon of love for all beings. Let us share a few minutes of silence and stillness now.
If you haven't put your little bit of green paper in and you want to, now's your last chance. So my three charming assistants are going to now redistribute those randomly to everyone who... So everyone who put one in should take one out. Don't take one out if you didn't put one in. And don't open them yet. Just hold on to them for a moment. So have you all got one if you put one in? Anyone still waiting? No. So hold on to that piece of paper. Each of us wrote down a struggle and a hope. Each of us is now symbolically holding someone else's struggle and their hope. So hold it with great care. And now let's take a moment to read those words. You don't know who wrote them. The struggle and hope could belong to the person you admire most in this room. They could belong to the person that annoys you most in this room. They could be written by the person sitting next to you. They might even have been written by yourself. Take those words in now as you read them and silently offer up loving kindness to the unknown person who made themselves vulnerable in that sharing. Erica Hewitt says, in this community we make one another brave, we give one another peace, we hold the hope for one another. We have to be each other's partners in hope. So we're going to listen with care to some of those hopes now. Janine is going to bring round the microphone so that everybody can hear. I want you to read out the hope, just the hope, not the struggle. Call it out loud and clear so that we can all hear it, so we can all be partners in hope for each other. And when it seems that all of them have been shared, we'll bring the ritual to a close.
Support from my colleagues.
Through prayer and reflection, I hope to be able to make the right or best decision for myself and those who I care about.
I hope I can fully heal from past grievance and betrayal. To love my daughter-in-law and my grandchildren more.
To retain dignity and a sense of humor.
The courage and path to do what I know to do.
Forgive myself and gain peace in my heart, soul.
I hope that I'm able to change as well and keep a level head and heart and accept change.
Compassion for myself and acceptance of what is, and patience for what may come.
I hope for wisdom to accept life and gratitude for good things.
My hope is to be open to a new relationship unfolding with my sister, to let go of the past and enjoy my time with her.
I wish for softness.
I hope to maintain hope and optimism that something will be found that's suitable.
I hope for courage and energy to get on with it.
Acceptance of me and by others as an okay person.
Connection.
Some light and contentment at the end of the tunnel.
I hope a gift of enthusiasm for life in many ways remains sustaining and vivid to me.
I hope for strength to believe in my own character
I hope for depth of feeling and love and fullness.
That my loved ones and myself emerge whole and happy, ready to go on their own paths.
I want to communicate better with my family and stay a part of their lives.
I hope for a resolution and a coming together at some point in the future.
Ways to control a bit better.
Some treatment that helps keep my anxiety under control.
To accept my cannot change.
An emerging sense of self-worth.
To make a small contribution to awareness of spiritual values.
Thank you. I think everyone's spoken now. What I'd like to ask you to do is to keep that piece of paper, take it with you, and put it somewhere where you will come across it again a few times this week. And when you do, imagine that unknown person and their struggle, and send them a little bit of loving kindness, whoever they are. Keep on holding the hope for them all week long. And as we move forward, our lives and hearts interconnected in life-giving ways, grateful for this community of vulnerability, truth and hope, where we may share who and how we really are. I invite you, if you wish, to join hands with someone nearby while we speak the closing words. I can't reach from here. I'll do symbolic hands. The hand in yours belongs to a person whose heart is sometimes tender, whose skin is sometimes thin, whose eyes sometimes fill with tears, whose laughter is a beautiful sound. The hand that you hold belongs to a person who is seeking wholeness and who knows that you are doing the same. So as you leave this sanctuary, may your heart remain open, may your voice stay strong, and may your hands remain outstretched. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.